many years, I thought that whatever the doctor said was gospel. I didn't realise that sometimes the doctor might get it wrong. And I'm at a point in my journey now where I know that I know my body better than them. And that sometimes I do really need to dig my heels in and say, no, this is what we need to do. We need to look into it further. Just because this test hasn't shown something up doesn't mean it's not something there. It means that this test has not identified it. So we must try harder. But at the same time, I've had such a traumatic experience in healthcare, in hospitals. It's actually really, really difficult for me. And it brings a lot of anxiety to actually have to advocate for myself to the point now where I have to involve my mum. I don't think it's a good experience for me or them, because if I'm not being clear with them, they can't really help me either.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that in terms of the mental health aspect of being anxious, being in front of the doctor, but then what I've increasingly seen as well is not only is IBD an incredibly traumatic and anxious, and it's a horrible thing as well to have something for the rest of your life, really, and having to manage it. But also with what I have increasingly been speaking to people is that either they have a pre-existing mental health condition, or since they've been diagnosed, realizing that particularly flare-ups is so interlinked with stress. So, you know, not only are you going into a doctor's appointment and being stressed about being in front of a doctor and having to advocate for yourself, but often you're in that position because you're in a high stressful situation, or you have worked yourself up and you have high stress and high cortisol or whatever, and that's made your flare-up go. Definitely, my therapist said to me recently, I'm going to get the word wrong, it's somatic. I'm very somatic. So my body really and my mind are so connected. And I think there's more and more research for this, and particularly with autoimmune diseases, of how high stress can really be not only an indicator, but also a reason for you to develop it.
It's weird because, you know, when I was diagnosed for the first 10 years, probably, if somebody would even have dared say something to me about maybe my mental health, maybe my psychological state being a factor in getting IBD, I would have been quite angry about it. But I'd not done at that point any kind of research. And, you know, research into how IBD comes about it's sketchy at best. You know, there's how many like markers that might say you are more inclined to get IBD, and it does look like it's genetics, but it also looks like it's environmental, and it also looks like it's psychological, and it also looks like it becomes more prevalent as areas become more industrialized.
I don't know about you, but did you feel that just people were undermining your diagnosis, and it felt like someone was saying to me, oh, it's made up, or, you know, oh, it's just in your mind?
I did have an IBD nurse say something to me years ago about, well, I'd been complaining about a pain in a specific area where there should have not have been any pain. I've got ulcerative colitis, my colon had gone. I was getting this pain in my small intestine. So I'm like, well, what is it then? Is it Crohn's? Is it something else? And she just said, I think you're just going to have to live like that, and that it's psychosomatic. And then I started learning about like the mind-body connection. 2020, I started doing yoga when my physio was cancelled because of COVID. And then all of a sudden things started connecting, and it wasn't intentional. It's never why I started doing yoga. I started doing yoga for the physical support that I needed. And then all of a sudden started noticing I am calming down. I am less stressed. And it was only when that happened that I was able to look back, and referring back to what you were saying earlier, it was only when I started calming down that I realized I had spent my entire life with a baseline emotion of stress and anger.
Yeah. I was actually just laughing recently about the fact that I would say many areas I rationally am aware that my mental health can affect flare-ups. I'm aware of how much stress I feel in my body. And then suddenly I was been struggling recently with my mental health, and then last week had a really bad flare-up and actually ended up having to take a day off work. And I remember I turned to my boyfriend and I was like, oh, I've been doing all the right things, eating the right things. I don't know where this has come from. And then he was like, well, you have been a bit stressed recently. And I was like, how didn't I put the two and two together? Like, I was like, I know that that's a contributing factor, but I just still, even then, I was but like, oh God, why has it got so bad?
So Lauren, I've obviously talked a little bit about yoga helping me reground and rebalance myself. I've got my house plants and I've got my gardening as well. So what for you, once your partner said to you, you know, you've been stressed out and you're like, yes, that's been happening. Is this something that you can then, do you have coping mechanisms?
So a big coping mechanism for me is my therapist. And actually, in terms of my journey with IBD has been so interlinked with my mental health journey. And I'm very fortunate in many ways that I have an amazing psychiatric team, and I have done from a very young age and have been there to support me. I see her weekly at the moment.
Yeah.
I really am not always very good at noticing when I'm in pain. I have a really ridiculously high pain threshold. And having the TENS machine is something that I've linked up, but this constant regular, something I'm in control of, and it's got quite soothing. So I'm now one of those kind of strange people. I always have it in my handbag, and I'll suddenly, sometimes I will go weeks without having to use it, whereas at the moment, I'm very, very much linked to it. But I think the biggest thing for me is feeling like I have some sort of control over the disease.
I have definitely gained some control issues just from having this disease, to be honest. But it's not, I feel like it's been a benefit because, you know, you're saying it might, you might be one of those strange people. But to me, it's not strange. It's completely practical that I just consider everything. When I leave the house, it's like somebody packing a bag for a baby because I'm making sure that I've got my spare stoma supplies and everything just in case. I mean, I'm generally really safe, but you never know. There could be a mechanical fault with the bag and then I'm out in the middle of nowhere and covered in poo. I like to be in control, especially when you've lived with a disease that, I mean, personally, I have felt many times that I don't have any control. The multiple surgeries that I've had, they've not been by choice. It's been, you need this surgery or you're potentially going to die. So you don't have the option. And when those options are taken away from you, I do think it makes you cling on to the little bit of control that you do have that little bit more.
So often my doctor will say, oh, just have some steroids, like it will really help. And I'm like, no, actually, I'm going to try as much as I possibly can. Obviously, sometimes it's not possible, but I don't want to have to be reliant on them. And I think a lot of that anti-steroid movement is actually, I feel anyway, is coming more from the patients rather than the doctors. Doctors, it's still an easy prescription. But I also think because a lot of the healthcare treatment options at the moment are not on the NHS and are not affordable. And I think my biggest hope moving forward is that there is affordable options, whether it be on the NHS or not, but that it's something that people can access without having to